Daniel chapter 5. Message is titled, The Writing on the Wall. And that, and those words have come down through the centuries, and we use it as a phrase today. How many times have you heard of someone, or maybe you're in your own life, well, the writing was on the wall. Whether it was a factory that was cutting back and downsizing and laying off workers, or an employee that was incessantly in trouble and finally they've got enough documentation to get rid of him. Well, that comes to us from Daniel chapter 5. Belshazzar was an evil king, puffed up with pride, and the writing literally was on the wall. We have 4 points today from this chapter: depravity on display, the hand of God in judgment, the wisdom of this world and the wisdom from above, and sudden judgment. So as we look to what God says about the writing on the wall, let's read from Daniel chapter 5, the first 4 verses. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine from the 1,000, before the 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar commanded that they bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which was in Jerusalem, so that the king and his officials, his wives and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his officials, his wives and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of bronze, of iron, of wood and of stone. As we go to the Lord in prayer, think about the depravity within your own heart and life. For though you might be justified by grace through faith, you are still being sanctified. And there is still depravity in your heart and in your life. Ask the Lord to show that to you, to reveal that to you, so that you can be what He's called you to be. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank You. We thank You for the record of this man, Belshazzar. A man of whom we know very little. A man of whom many throughout the centuries have doubted his existence. A man who in many ways shows our own lives on display, shows our own hearts on display, shows our own actions on display. Lord, we thank You for this man, Belshazzar. We thank You that You preserved the record of his depravity. But not only the record of his depravity, but his encounter with Daniel. Who is a type and a shadow of Jesus, the incarnate Son of God. Lord, we thank You for the word that Daniel preached. To this man, though he was a heathen, he was still a recipient of Your word. and is held accountable for what he heard. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Depravity on display. You don't have to look very far. You don't have to turn over too many rocks to know that depravity is all around. Turn on the radio, TV, the internet. Engage in conversation at work or in the marketplace, and you will find depravity on display. This man, Belshazzar, he's a controversial figure. For centuries, very little was known about him. Even good Christian men have doubted his existence because of such scant record of his life. But archaeology has uncovered cylinders with his name and record of his life. You could say that secular history confirms the Word of God, but I like how J. Vernon McGee says it. Secular history is confirmed by the Word of God. The Word of God said it first, and secular history caught up to the Bible. We get a little glimpse of who this man is in Jeremiah chapter 27. Jeremiah chapter 27, just two verses, verses 6 and 7. Jeremiah 27, verses 6 and 7. Now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And also I have given to him the beasts of the field to serve him. All nations shall serve him and his son and his son's son until the time of his own land comes. And then many nations and great kings will make him their servant. Nebuchadnezzar. Jeremiah calls Nebuchadnezzar God's servant. Now, to be sure, up to this point, we have encountered Nebuchadnezzar. We have found that he has said some very good things about the God of Israel. But there's no indication that he ever surrendered his life in repentance and faith. Belshazzar has even less evidence. But what does Jeremiah say? These men are servants of God. Doesn't say that they're saved. Doesn't say that they're redeemed. Doesn't say that they're the elect. Says they're servants of God. As we read last week in Romans 13, rulers are given by God for judgment. If we have a godly ruler, it's because God has chosen to withhold his hand of judgment from us. If we have an ungodly ruler, it's because God has chosen to extend his hand of judgment to us and upon us. This man, Belshazzar, we find him in these verses throwing a celebration, a party, a feast. And at that party, he is flouting his arrogance, even to the point of profanity. You know, it's been said that the shipbuilder of the Titanic is on record saying that that ship was a ship that not even God himself could sink. I don't know if it's true that the shipbuilder said that, but if it is, God showed him, because the Titanic is no more. The Titanic is a sunken vessel. This man, Belshazzar, is just like the builder, the designer of that Titanic. He comes to the throne knowing that his rule, his reign is as far as he can see and even farther. Babylon is the world ruler, the world kingdom. Every person in the known world falls under the rule and reign of the Babylonians. So there's an arrogance in his heart. And that arrogance leads him to profanity. At this feast in which he's showing off his arrogance, in which he's shaking his fist at Almighty God, at this feast in which, for all intents and purposes, he's saying, not even God can defeat the kingdom of Babylon. This man says, hey, you know what? I've heard stories about some golden and silver vessels that were taken from Jerusalem. When Nebuchadnezzar besieged the city and brought vessels from the temple. Go get those. Bring them here. And let's drink wine from those vessels. Those vessels were holy vessels. They had been set apart for use in the temple and worship of Yahweh. And this pagan, this arrogant man, has those vessels of gold and silver brought in, and they drink their wine, lifting up vessels that were separated for God's purposes to their gods, celebrating the arrogance of Belshazzar, celebrating the arrogance of Babylon. Well, God is not mocked. What a man sows, he shall reap. In a drunken stupor, Belshazzar sees something strange, something that brings him to the point of sobriety. He sees the hand of God, verses 5 through 7. Immediately fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the back of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him. So the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees struck against one another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spoke and said to the wise men of Babylon, whoever shall read this writing and show me its interpretation, shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. The hand of God in judgment. For all this, for all of his celebration, for all of his arrogance, for the blatant profanity, God intervenes. God intervenes in a miraculous way. God intervenes in a way that gets Belshazzar's attention. Only a hand shows up. Because God intends not to reach Belshazzar, but God intends to judge Belshazzar. There's only two times in Scripture that we ever hear of any direct writing from God. Only two times in Scripture that we observe with our eyes direct writing from God. That's here in Daniel chapter 5 and also John chapter 8 verses 1 through 11. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. And we will back up to verse 53 of chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 53. Then everyone went to his own house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he returned to the temple. All the people came to him. He sat down and taught them. The scribes and Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. When they had put her in the middle, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Now Moses in the law commanded us to stone such. But what do you say?" They said this, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear them. So when they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Being convicted by their conscience, those who heard it went out one by one, beginning with the eldest, even to the last. Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had stood up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are your accusers? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No, Lord. No one, Lord." Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." What we see here in Daniel chapter 5 is the pre-incarnate Son. What we see here in Daniel chapter 5 is a Christology. Not a Christology, a Christophany. But it's not like other times in Scripture where we see a full man. In this instance, all we see is the hand of the Son of Man writing on the wall. Belshazzar's attention is taken from his celebration, from his arrogance, from his profanity, and Belshazzar's attention is placed upon this unique, this once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-all-eternity event in which a man's hand appears and writes on the wall. The message in John chapter 8 is a message of forgiveness. Because Jesus says in John chapter 8, "He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone." And he stoops down and begins writing again. When he gets up, he says, "Where is everybody? There's no one here to condemn me. There's no one here to accuse me. Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Jesus to that woman offers forgiveness. Jesus here in Daniel chapter 5 offers doom. This man's arrogance is on full display. The arrogance of Babylon is on full display. And Jesus offers the message of doom. But he doesn't know what it says. There's a message of doom, to be sure. Belshazzar is troubled, to be sure. He knows something is up. He knows that his number is up, which is another twist on that writing on the wall. He knows that the jig is up, but he doesn't quite know what these words mean. So what does he do? He calls in the soothsayers, the astrologers, the wise men. He does the same thing that Nebuchadnezzar has done twice now. This is now the third time that the wise men, the astrologers, the soothsayers, have been brought into the king's presence. What do we see? What we see here in verses 8 through 29 is the wisdom of this world and the wisdom from above. The wisdom of this world and the wisdom from above. Verse 8. Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king its interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his nobles were astonished. Now the queen came into the banquet house because of the words of the king and his nobles. And the queen spoke and said, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, or let your countenance be changed. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, made him master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting dreams and explanation of enigmas and solving of problems were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. So we've got King Belshazzar, and we've now got Daniel, who we've read previously, was given the Babylonian name Belteshazzar. So Belshazzar versus Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. Then Daniel was brought in before the king, and the king spoke and said to Daniel, Are you that Daniel who is one of the sons of the captivity of Judah, whom the king, my father, brought out of Judah? Now I've heard of you that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom have been found in you. Now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known to me its interpretation. But they could not give the interpretation of the matter. And I've heard of you, that you can give interpretations and solve problems. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let your gifts be for yourself, or give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave you, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slaughtered, and whom he would, he kept alive. Whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. Well, when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. When he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the animals, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys, he was given grass to eat like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, until he knew the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men, and that he appoints over it whomever he wills. Yet you, his son, O Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this, but have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives and your concubines, have drunk wine in them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, of iron, wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand is your breath, and whose are all your ways, you have not glorified. Then the hand was sent from him, and this inscription was written. Now, have you noticed that the scripture records Nebuchadnezzar as being Belshazzar's father? Did you notice that twice Belshazzar, first to his wise men, soothsayers, astrologers, offer them third place in the kingdom, and now to Daniel, offers Daniel third place in the kingdom. Now previously, when Nebuchadnezzar had his dream, what did he do? He offered Daniel second place in the kingdom. Here, Belshazzar offers Daniel third place in the kingdom. So how is it that he could be called the son of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar being called his father, but only being able to offer Daniel third place, whereas Nebuchadnezzar offered second place. Well, simple. In ancient times, you could use one word to identify somebody. To say father wouldn't necessarily mean father. It could mean grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, so forth. Because in truth, whether he's father, grandfather, great-grandfather, he is a father to Belshazzar. He is a direct descendant of Belshazzar. We read earlier from Jeremiah 27, verses 6 and 7, that the Lord spake through Jeremiah and said that Babylon was going to be ruled by Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son, and Nebuchadnezzar's son's son. If we lay Daniel chapter 5 alongside Jeremiah chapter 27, then what we see is that Belshazzar is the grandson. He's not the ultimate ruler of Babylon. He is the ruler in place. His father is out at war. His father is out trying to expand the kingdom. And Belshazzar is home doing the domestic stuff. His father is out doing foreign relations, if you will, out as doing the work of Secretary of State, as we might know today. And Belshazzar is taking care of the physical kingdom that's right here, right now. Records Daniel as a spirit-filled man who can interpret. Three times now, this is the third time that the wise men, soothsayers, astrologers have been called in to interpret something. And this is now the third time that the king's men have failed. In baseball, you get three chances, you don't do anything, what's that called? Strike three, you're out. This man Daniel, though he is offered third place in the kingdom, though he's offered scarlet and gold, he says, I don't need any of that. Keep that for yourself. Give it to somebody else. But I will give you the interpretation. This man Daniel, when he stood before Nebuchadnezzar, was a young man. A young man who stood before an old king. At this point in his life, he's an old man standing before a young king. Can you imagine the humility, the fear, the not knowing years prior when he was a young man standing before an old king, when he was standing before Nebuchadnezzar? Yeah, he was obedient to God, but I'm sure just like you and me, in the back of his mind, he's thinking, okay, I'm going to speak the truth of God. What's he going to do to me? Now, he's got the benefit of age. He's not that young man. He's not speaking to that old man. He's the old man, and he's speaking to a young man. Daniel preached a powerful sermon right there in verses 20 through 24. Daniel preached about God's dealings and God's work with Nebuchadnezzar. How God raised Nebuchadnezzar up, and how pride got the best of him, and he went mad for 7 years until he would recognize Yahweh. And Nebuchadnezzar's experience wasn't meant for Nebuchadnezzar alone. It was meant for his descendants as well. So that if they look back at what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, at the madness of that king, and how when he came to himself and he recognized Yahweh as the one true God, that
just like Nebuchadnezzar, they would be restored from their madness. Belshazzar knew that story. He knows that story, and he's unimpressed. Daniel says, you know what happened. And you went down that same road anyway. Paul, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5, tells what happens from pride. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Now you know what restrains him, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already working. Only he who is now restraining him will do so until he is taken out of the way. And the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his presence, even him whose coming is in accordance with the working of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all deception of unrighteousness among those who perish, because they did not receive the love for the truth that they might be saved. Therefore, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all might be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Paul said the same thing that Daniel's saying here. That man of lawlessness was repeating the actions and the attitudes of Belshazzar. That man of lawlessness was repeating the actions and the attitudes of Nebuchadnezzar. And guess what? When you and me defy God, we're repeating the actions, the attitudes of Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, that man of lawlessness that Paul addressed. John chapter 5, verse 43. John chapter 5, verse 43, Jesus speaking, I have come in my Father's name, but you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. Belshazzar was not coming in the name of God. Thank you. Belshazzar was errantly coming in his own name. Belshazzar was coming with profanity, celebrating what he had done, celebrating what Babylon had done. Belshazzar wasn't impressed by his grandfather's acknowledgement of who Yahweh was. And so we see on full display the wisdom of his men versus the wisdom of this man of God. His men couldn't interpret the writing on the wall. The man of God could interpret and could speak forthrightly, speaking truth to power. This handwriting is from God. Mene is used twice and simply means number. Tekel, weighed and found wanting. Perez or Upharsin means division. God numbered the Babylonian kingdom on his divine scales and judges this kingdom by dividing it between the Medes and the Persians. You can read about that more in Ezekiel chapter 21, 25 through 27. In Ezekiel chapter 21, 25 through 27, we see what happened to Israel when they sinned. God used the Babylonians to take the kingdom from them. And now, because of Babylonians, because the Babylonian sin had stacked up against them, just like Israel's sin had stacked up against them, God is taking the kingdom from Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. Regardless of what happens to Belshazzar, regardless of what happened to Babylon, regardless of the fact that Babylon and Belshazzar's number were up, regardless of the fact that they were found, that they were weighed, and they were coming up short, what we see is that God is in charge. God is in charge. I don't know how November 5th is going to go. You don't know how November 5th is going to go. But you know what? On November 6th, God's still going to be in charge. You remember Nebuchadnezzar's dream of that great image? Nebuchadnezzar was the golden head, the shoulders of silver. Those shoulders of silver were the Medes and the Persians. And it mentioned something of a stone cut without hands. Who's that stone cut without hands? Daniel chapter 2, verse 34, that stone cut without hands is Christ. And Christ is the one who's coming against Belshazzar tonight. Yeah, he's using the Medes and the Persians, but it's Christ who's coming against Belshazzar. Christ, through Daniel, is announcing judgment. Sudden judgment we see in verses 30 and 31. I didn't read all the way down to verse 29, so I'm going to pick up at 25. I'll pick up in verse 25. This is the inscription that was written. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the message. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom, put an end to it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Peres, your kingdom has been divided. Peres is the singular form of Upharsin. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command and put a chain of gold about his neck, clothed Daniel with scarlet, and made a proclamation concerning Daniel that he should be the third ruler of the kingdom. That same night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Years earlier, Nebuchadnezzar was given a similar message that he was going to go mad. But he was given a year. It was a year later after Nebuchadnezzar had that dream and got the interpretation that Nebuchadnezzar went mad. Belshazzar isn't given a year. Sudden judgment comes that very night. Because not only has Babylon's sin as a people stacked up against them, but Belshazzar's sin as an individual has stacked up against him. And sudden judgment comes that very night. He's not given the grace of a year. He's not given the grace of wandering around as an animal for a year. You know, history records that the Medes were inside the inner city before anyone knew anything was wrong. So very likely, even as Belshazzar saw that hand writing on the wall, the Medes were already in the city. What's interesting, the city walls were like 60 foot high. The city walls were wide enough that you could run four chariots side by side around those walls. It was virtually impenetrable. But there was a canal that ran underneath the wall of that city. And history records that the Medes diverted the water from that canal back over into the Euphrates, so that canal dried up. They came in through that dried up canal and took the city from within. God's scale and God's standard. Belshazzar was weighed in God's scale. Belshazzar was measured according to God's standard. And as we see in Isaiah 2, and as we've seen previously in Revelation 18, God's scale, nothing compares to it. God's standard, nothing compares to it. If we take my standard and your standard, yeah, there's something always that can supersede it. But God's standard, nothing supersedes. If you were weighed in God's scale today, what would God say of you? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your goodness and for your grace. Lord, we thank you not only for Belshazzar and how he vividly portrays our lives and our attitudes and our actions, but we thank you for Daniel, who was given the Babylonian name Belteshazzar, who vividly portrays and foreshadows the Christ, the Son of the living God, who comes not only calling his people to himself, but announcing judgment to those who reject him. Lord, we pray that we would be faithful servants of you, the Most High God, and declare the message of Jesus and him crucified. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.